So, without further ado, this is your brother, Charlie. He is based in Sydney, Australia, travels the world constantly as a support to the BKs around the world, is responsible for the Pacific Asia Australia region, and is just a big, big heart and a very wise intellect. And he's here this morning to help us think about the spiritual power we are taking away with us from this retreat and how to use it. So, warm welcome, Charlie. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone, and welcome. I just noticed that some are still arriving and settling, so let us just have a couple of minutes of silence to bring our thoughts into focus. Just a couple of minutes. Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone. And thank you, Judy, for your lovely welcome. I think it's been an extraordinary week, and we've had so much interaction over our meals in small groups, and I've had the fortune to touch base with so many. And I feel that almost everyone I've spoken to has been quite deeply touched. But tomorrow, as Judy was saying, we're going to return to our usual playgrounds where all of us have responsibilities, commitments, challenges, situations, issues, and much more. It's life today. We all experience this. It's totally normal. We have listened to so much over the week. We have meditated a lot. We've discussed and shared and reflected. And in my own personal experience, I find that sometimes the light bulb goes off. You know, just a little chat to somebody or sitting in meditation, there's a powerful realization or inspiration that touches something really profound internally. And in that moment, there's this incredible energy. I really want to change. I really want to transform my life. I really want to adapt this into my daily life. I really want to make it happen. And I feel at this point in the retreat, the big question is really, where do I get the power from? Where do I get that inner strength? You know, that willpower, that determination to move from where I am to the place I want to be. What am I going to do to move from this place to that vision I have in my heart of the person I really want to be? And sometimes I feel it's absolutely crystal clear where I want to go. I want to let go my self-doubt. I want to deal with my negativity. I perhaps want to change my attitude to a loved one. But that real question, you know, where do I really get the strength to make it happen? And I feel that this is really the spiritual journey. To move from the place where I am with the tools of wisdom and the loving relationship with God to the person that I really want to be. And I've observed there's two paths. I call one the information path. I think we all know the information path. We read all the books, we go to all the seminars, we come to the retreats. It makes so much sense to me. Yes, this is my truth. This is where I belong. But one day I wake up and I realize I know all the stuff here, but I haven't really changed much at all, if at all. And sometimes at that point, some of us feel it doesn't really work. It doesn't work for me, I'm stopping. But this is the point, I think, when we really step onto the spiritual path, where I sit in silence with my own thoughts and feelings, me with me. And sometimes when I sit with that pure intent to taste that absolute purity of true peace, a tsunami of unfinished business can just flow through my head. You know, a tsunami of unprocessed feelings. And even then I think, whoa, this is too much. Maybe it's not working. Maybe this is not for me. But in my experience, with a little bit of perseverance, a little bit of practice, I move through that jungle, that inner jungle of unfinished business, unprocessed feelings, and find this pristine point of stillness. I am a peaceful soul. Such an incredibly sweet feeling inside. And this is really when I've stepped onto the spiritual journey. I persevere with the spiritual journey because this is the work we have to do individually when we leave. But often when I hear the word power, it's a really loaded word, isn't it? Don't you feel in this word, in this world? Because the connotation of power is really, it has force, control, dominance, authoritarianism, abuse. There's a whole lot of juicy words, juicy adjectives that often go with power today. But that's probably what I would call hard power. But spirituality is soft power. And I think what we all really want from this life is to express this soft power in my relationships, in my family, in my workplace. On a day-to-day basis, my true self starts to radiate through into my life. So, love, humility, respect, compassion, kindness really become my true nature. And spiritual power is an amazing thing. And to me, one of the main tenets of spiritual power is to take full responsibility for how I feel. This is what Sister Shivani was talking about, that I stop the victim game, I stop the projection, I stop all that stuff. I am fully responsible for me. This is a massive step to strengthening my inner world. Spiritual power is beginning to walk my talk. Really, whatever I think up here starts to appear in my behavior and my actions. I once read something from Albert Schweitzer, and he said something like that about leadership. He was talking about leadership, and he was saying that example is not the best form of leadership. Example is the only form of leadership. So I really begin to walk my talk, be the person I really want to be. Spiritual power is really finding solutions for my problems so that the problems don't keep recycling inside my head. You know how they go round and round and round and round. They wear me out. They weaken me. And I've been on this journey for a long time. I absolutely love this journey of self-learning, this journey of step-by-step refinding my inner strength and my inner power. It's absolutely lifelong learning. And I can remember when I started my journey, I had a few meditations, and I'm sure some of you have had this week, where I sort of moved through that jungle. And I tasted a quality of peace that I'd never tasted before. It came from the core of my being. And I tasted a quality of love from God that I'd never tasted before. A purity of love, an authenticity of love. And when I tasted these things, I had the contrast of what I was like before. And I can remember thinking or realizing previously I'd lost my spiritual power. I'd lost my inner strength. I'd lost my self-respect. I was really on empty. And the sign of emptiness is that everything external impacts internally. Even one word, a facial expression, can impact my internal world so profoundly. And I began to observe how I'd lost my inner sovereignty and how my sense organs were really dominating my thinking and my mind. I'd see a bad behavior. I'd see a situation. I'd let it in my eyes, think. It'd drive my thinking. I hear a comment. I hear a criticism. I hear some news. Let it in my ears, think. A memory would bubble to the surface into my mind and kickstart the mind again. It was like all these internal and external forces were really dominating my inner world. I'd lost my inner sovereignty. And I really began to realize that this journey is this gentle journey of reclaiming the authority of my inner kingdom, not through force and control, but really with love and wisdom. And there were two questions that really began to come up for me. And sometimes I think that spirituality is like having a heart-to-heart conversation with myself, where I sit with myself and I ask myself very honestly. The first question I began to ask, and I still do, who is powerful in my life? It's a really interesting question to ask. Who is powerful in my life? Is it other people, their opinions, their expectations, their ideas? How powerful are they? They can be so powerful. Is it my emotions? In a millisecond, an emotion of hurt or anger can flow through my mind and instantly my mood can change. Very powerful force, emotion. Is it my karmic story? Am I like a puppet dancing to the tune of my actions of the past? I'm just playing out my old self. Sometimes in psychology they say 70% of our thinking is of the past. Or is it situations? Do situations really come up and dominate my thinking? And I'm always trying to process, understand, find out where I stand. How much are these internal and external forces really dominating me? Or is it the two powerful relationships of life? Because what we're really being on about here is to anchor myself back into my truth, into my true power. I need two loving relationships. First, a loving relationship with myself as a soul. And secondly, a loving relationship with the divine as a soul. And as I start to lay that foundation within my inner world, it's like I anchor myself back into the source of power internally. And my experience was that the more I began to try to anchor myself, those moments, you know, where life, a situation happens, an emotion kicks in, a comment, and the head spins. We just go into this incredible spinning. It didn't go, but it became less and less and less and less as I sort of gently took back the authority of my inner kingdom. So a really interesting question to ask, who is powerful in my life? Second question, what fills me with power and what drains me of power? And I had an imaginary gauge or little barometer in my head, a little power gauge, you can say, because I became so aware of thoughts and feelings that make me feel a bit weak, a bit vulnerable, a bit negative, and thoughts and feelings that seem to root me or connect me back, anchor me back to my power. And as I observed, It was so simple. Simply, when I created thoughts, feelings, actions of love, of respect, of kindness, of compassion, I felt the barometer of power strengthen, go up. I felt settled, stable. But the instant there was negative thoughts, thoughts of fear, resentment, hurt, anger, or wasteful thoughts. You know, when the mind reflects on the past and reworks the past, we just analyze and process, or we project into the future, which is anxiety, really. I just thinking maybe this, maybe that. As I began to observe, the power gauge went down, 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 down. And I really began to realize there's a deep relationship between waste and power. The more I waste the treasure of thought, the most valuable treasure in life for all of us is our thoughts. And when I waste that quality, that most valuable treasure of life, I lose my power, I feel weak, I feel empty. And I began to see that my whole life happens in my mind. My whole life plays out in my mind. My thoughts, my feelings, my memories, my relationships, all the thinking about people and what's happening. The whole story is playing out in my mind, in my thoughts. And when I really begin to value each thought, that each thought can make me strong, feel resilient, or the next thought can make me weak and lose power. I found the more I paid attention, as soon as the negative and the waste kicked in, I became aware and I tried to revert back so that the barometer of power started to go higher. So I began to ask myself those questions. I still ask. Who is powerful in my life, firstly? Secondly, what fills me with power? What drains me? Just begin to observe the self. But thirdly, and probably most importantly, how do I really or genuinely accumulate spiritual power in myself? How do I accumulate, you know, or build a foundation of power within myself? And to me, there's two steps. We've been talking about them all week, actually. But as most of you know, when you come to the BKs, it's like we try to go deeper and deeper and deeper into these two things. The first step to rebuilding a foundation of spiritual power in myself is to have a loving relationship with myself as a soul. As simple as that. And I often feel, when I've reflected on my inner world, and the joy of this life, I think, is this self-observation, this deep self-observation. That's where we learn, observing my own responses and reactions. And I see three personalities in my life, inside. Two of them disempower me completely. When they're dominant or sovereign in my inner world, but one of them starts to anchor me back into my inner strength. The first personality takes its whole sense of self from all the labels. You know, who am I? I'm just a set of labels. And when I begin to identify with my labels, I compare with others, and I think I am better, I know more, I am right. I call this I the I of arrogance or the I of superiority. And fundamentally, when my ego is ruling in my inner system, I compare, first of all, and then when it comes into my feelings, when my ego is sovereign. And if you remember in the beginning of the week, it was said, ego is an attachment to a false sense of self. I'm actually under an illusion of who I am. I think I'm a temporary body. And when that kicks in, and all the feelings that come, I feel so easily insulted, disrespected, not valued, excluded, sensitive. I feel really quite sensitive and fragile inside. And when my ego is dominant, and all those feelings are there, draining of power, feel weak and vulnerable. There's an incredibly deep relationship between ego and love. Love is the greatest power. Love is the greatest power of life. And when there's ego, it's like ego makes me feel separate. Ego tells me I don't belong. Ego makes me feel disconnected to myself, to others, to God, to almost everything. The result, draining of power. But the second eye is really what I call the eye of lack of self-respect or the eye of inferiority. This is the powerful eye inside that drains me of my sense of power. And when it is dominant, it takes its all its sense of identity from all the labels of my body. When this I is dominant, I compare with others and I think others are better. Others know more. Others don't love me. Others don't value me. Others don't respect me. And then when it comes into my feelings, that's when hopelessness kicks in. There's an epidemic of hopelessness in our world at the moment. I feel hopeless, inadequate, unworthy, depressed. In psychology, depression is like a sadness that my dream in life to be loved and valued hasn't happened. But in spirituality, it's like a mourning for the loss of my true identity. And so when I come under the influence of my lack of self-respect, when that's dominant in my inner system, I feel so vulnerable, so weak, so delicate, so fragile. And so when these two are dominant, my ego of superiority and my ego of inferiority, the massive roller coaster, which absolutely disempowers me. But what we've been exploring this week is the original I, the eternal soul. And we can never stop learning about this, I feel. The soul is a point. A point exists but has no length, breadth, or width. It's so subtle. I live in the front of the brain. And sometimes I feel that when our education system, all of us are well educated, we've spent years, 16, 18, 20 years, we know so much information about so many things. We're all like a walking encyclopedia on so much. But what is spiritual education? Taking one idea, who am I? Going deeper, 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 deeper. I begin to unpack that truth. And I begin to move it from a belief and a theory into a power of peace internally. And sometimes I feel in this spiritual journey, the first step is to know. The second step is to believe. The next 998 steps are educating myself how to convert what I know into what I feel, so I taste it. And fundamentally, the deeper I taste and experience, the more power returns to my inner world, that I am a peaceful soul. It becomes like a power internally. And one image I have for my inner world is, my inner world is like a tree. And a tree has a seed, a trunk, branches and leaves. You may have noticed. And the leaves are the end product of the tree. The leaves are my thoughts, and they're the end product of my inner world. But many things are feeding to that point where the leaves are on the top. For most of us, our mind is in overdrive, so many thoughts. Some scientists say we create 70,000 unique thought patterns in a waking day. I don't know how they count them, but it's a lot of thoughts. But what is feeding the thoughts are my mental and emotional patterns, the branches. So sometimes I have an addictive personality, a perfectionist personality, or I'm driven by the patterns of fear and grief and so on. But what's feeding the branches is the trunk, my subconscious. That subconscious storehouse of all my past sitting in my memory track. It's a wonder all of us sitting in this hall now are carrying a perfect record of my subconscious in my memory track. Freud said that 80% or around there of our behavior is influenced from the subconscious. But what is influencing the trunk or the subconscious is the seed, my sense of identity. Who am I? When I sow a false seed in my inner world that I am a temporary body, it pollutes the entire inner world, my entire inner being. It influences my subconscious, my mental emotional patterns, and the result on the top, so much overthinking, reacting, conflict with myself, the mind in overdrive, and feeling so vulnerable and weak as a result of that. But when I sow the seed in my inner tree of the truth, the reality of life is that I'm this eternal, immortal, non-physical point. And when I sow that seed and nurture that seed and water that seed, it starts to slowly grow into my trunk, into the branches and leaves. And then the leaves on the top, calm and settled. And in a way, sometimes when we think I want to change, we want to cherry pick out negative thoughts, you know, or negative feelings. Have you noticed you take out one or two and about 10 or 15 more grow? Have you noticed that? And it's almost an impossible task. What we're saying here is reprogram the seed of my inner world. And this is the first anchor into real, permanent spiritual strength, which will manifest as a resilience and a stability within me. So that first step on accumulating spiritual power, sort of loving myself as a soul. And the second step is really having a loving relationship with the divine as the supreme soul. And I am a soul, but I wear a body. And I express myself through this body. I'm this tiny point here. I noticed both Sister Shivani and Sister Jenti kept pointing here. This tiny spark of life energy just sitting. But I, the soul, express through my body, and according to the quality of my actions, I know happiness and I know sorrow. I know peace and I know peacelessness. I know love, but I also know loneliness and rejection. I know the duality of life. God or the divine is also a soul but does not have a body. And so doesn't fluctuate like I do, is full of love, full of happiness, and full of peace. As we, or as I understand, the form of God is a point, the soul. A point is changeless. And when I start to connect with this changeless being, it's like that anchor of stability once again. As the world swirls around me, I'm connected to an absolutely stable point. But this soul that human beings give the label of God is not a belief, It's not a theory. It's not an intellectual concept. It's not just a point of light on the wall. We're actually talking about a living, aware soul, a living, conscious being. But you can see me because I'm expressing through my body. I'm talking, I'm having gestures with my arms, smiling, I hope a bit. You know, I'm expressing, I, the soul, express through this form. But God doesn't have a body, so God doesn't express through the sense organs or experience through the sense organs. So this is a completely different type of relationship. I have to, in a sense, relearn or open myself to a new way of connecting. With each other, we connect through the senses. I can see you, you can see me. I can hear you, you can hear me. We interact on that level. But now it's like, I am a living conscious being and I'm connecting with the divine who's a living conscious being. But it's on a different wavelength, on a different level. And so I need to come up to that level too. And this is why the soul, the Supreme Soul, is eternally soul conscious. Our understanding from the cycle of time, I was also soul conscious. But the more I identified with this, I lost my inner power, became bankrupt of power. And so what I want to do is go back to my soul conscious level to resonate on that frequency again. And my own experience, the more I learn this incredible art of sitting down or letting go the labels of my body, letting go identifying with my past, just withdrawing, stepping back and sitting lightly and starting to resonate on that sweet frequency of the soul, it's like I begin to resonate on a similar frequency as God. And the more I do, the more I feel close, the more I feel connected, the more I relate. And I start to begin to build a genuine connection, different from a belief. I'm not just sitting believing in a concept. I'm actually the soul, connecting with the one relationship that's permanent. And sometimes what helped me was the analogy that God is on the FM wavelength, so to speak. And when I am bodily conscious, when I, the soul, think I'm this temporary set of sense organs, the body, I'm on the AM dial. I know the FM exists, but I can't tune in. Sometimes I think that's a lot of what happens when we are on the religious journey. There's a powerful belief, but I can't really connect. If I want to connect, I have to go up to the FM wavelength. I have to learn the art of really becoming soul conscious. And so how do I communicate with each other? We speak, we hear, etc. But here it is thoughts and feelings. I'm actually having a real living connection, but through subtle powers, subtle energy, through thoughts and feelings. In fact, the incredible thing is that when we relate to each other, the greatest impact in the way we communicate is feelings, is vibrations. It's vibrations which really have an impact. They often say when you communicate, you have the verbal part, you're talking, and the non-verbal, which is often your expression and vibrations. And when you get those two messages, one is what you hear and one is what you feel, you always trust your feeling, your vibration. So in a way, I'm already working more on the energy level of thoughts and feelings. And as you're sitting in this hall at the moment, you know, we're sitting here and we're in the middle of a session. How many times have people popped into your mind during the last half hour or so? Who's had people pop into your mind? Everyone. It's incredible, isn't it? Pop. The thought of a family member, pop, someone in this room, and they're on the other side of the world. This is the extraordinary nature of thought. Thought is beyond time and space. I can have a thought of one of you sitting in the front row. It can reach you as fast as someone back in Australia, because thoughts are beyond time and space. This is the incredible thing of thought. Light travels at 186,000 miles a second or something like that. My old school days of physics are not so good. Thought is absolutely instant. And so what is really happening is, as I start to build a picture of the divine, a soul like me, a soul full of qualities, peace, purity, love, power, the form, the nature, and as I start to connect with my thoughts, I'm starting to build a living relationship. Because to have relationship is in the DNA of all of us. We don't have to learn, it's intrinsic to our nature. And this is what I often feel, that, you know, if I find myself forcing myself, pressuring myself, pushing myself, I don't know, I feel that's a very religious approach to things. Here, I think, what is the real method of meditation or Raja Yoga? The real method is to fall in love. And that's the real question. How do I really fall in love with the divine, who is such an attractive soul? Because wherever my heart goes, the law says, my mind will follow. There is natural focus, natural attention. And the more I naturally love, the more I'll naturally connect and remember. And the more I naturally connect and remember, the more I begin to naturally transform. The whole process really is very natural. And I think this is really at the heart of, if I can use the word, the meditation process. But in recent years, I've gone off this word meditation a bit. Because I feel people yearn to meditate, yearn to connect with truth and peace. But most people find it too difficult. The mind's all over the place. And it's sort of the expectation is somehow I have to raise my consciousness to another level. And so subtly I try, and I feel a bit of a failure. And so it's too hard. I don't know whether I can do this. And this is why here we use the word remember. There is nothing more natural than to remember. At every millisecond, I am remembering what I have to do, what I just did, what you said, what I said. I'm constantly remembering. And when I remember, three things happen. I connect first. Whatever I connect with, I'm influenced by, will subtly influence me. Whatever influences me is the feeling I have inside, is how I feel internally. And this is all instant. I connect, I'm influenced, I feel. And this is why if you're sitting here now and you remember a family member you're close to, you connect with that family member, you have a close, loving relationship, instantly you're influenced by that love. You feel very calm, content, settled. But if you're sitting in one of the seats in this hall, you travel back to your country, to a friend, a family member, you're not getting on with, you're in conflict with, the instant, the millisecond, the subtle thread of your intellect touches, you're influenced by that conflict, you feel instantly uneasy, the mind goes into overdrive, and discomfort, peacelessness begins to sit inside. When we sit to remember God, what are we really doing? We are beginning to connect the soul connects with the Supreme Soul. And it's almost like I live stream the qualities of the Supreme into the sacred space of my mind. This energy of love, of purity, of power begins to fill me. And instantly I'm influenced by that and I have the feeling inside. And I think in a sense that on this journey to making or building power within myself, observe what you plug your head into. What do I connect with? If I dwell on a problem, it's almost like I'm just draining all the power out of my mind till I feel absolutely on empty. You know, I think about it, I recycle it, I dwell on it, I talk to people, and what happens to me? I lose everything internally. So I feel really sort of vulnerable and weak at that time. But when I really keep connecting, and this is really the real life of a sort of a Rajyogi, if I can say that, is to go about my life, live my life in the family, at work, and as much as possible connect to the source of power. I'm influenced by that. I keep downloading that energy. I'm topping up my power as I go about my life. But as I go on, I really feel that, you know, using the word even God can sound a bit formal. And I don't know, like some of us, I had some religious baggage. Anyone here carry a bit of religious baggage in their life? Yeah. So sometimes these words like God just trigger feelings of and memories, associations with sort of past things. And this is why the word, and you've heard it quite a bit here, that we use is Baba, which is like an affectionate term for father. And I'm not really talking about Brahma Baba, the instrument, but Shiv Baba, the Supreme Soul, that I'm developing my own link with the source of spiritual power, which is love, peace, happiness, etc. And so when I begin to lay the foundation of this loving relationship with myself, the loving relationship with Baba, when that foundation starts to kick in, then a wonderful energy begins to flow through my thoughts, my feelings, my behavior, my life, which we call purity. And purity is like my original nature. And to me, purity is a state of being when all aspects of my life are based on truth. When I anchor myself back into the truth of who I am, the one permanent relationship, almost automatically this purity is like the fragrance that emerges from truth and permeates my being. It's like an internal cleanliness and lightness. A lovely lightness begins to enter. And purity is an incredible power. You know, purity is the method to rebuild my self-value. That's one of the greatest journeys on the spiritual path, to rebuild a sense of my own value that is stable and not sort of knocked around by all the changing scenes of life. Purity is the real method for happiness. There's a saying here in India that purity is the mother of peace and happiness. Purity is the real method for spiritual power. Because when I lay the foundation, then the fragrance of purity begins to flush through my system. I then express my power in my practical life, but it's soft power. The power to accommodate, the power to accept difference. We live in a world where people are so different and people are so threatened by people who look different, have different views and perspectives on life. I feel the more I lack self-respect, the more I feel threatened. And yet the beauty, the wonder, and I'm amazed just how different our perceptions are and our understanding of life and life situations. I have a, a brother who's married, and he and his wife have a big circle of friends. And they used to go to a lot of dinner parties. Actually, my brother has passed away. And coming home from the dinner party, my sister-in-law used to love to debrief on what happened over the table at dinner. I think you know about that. And my brother's perception of the dynamics was totally different from my sister-in-law. And my sister-in-law sometimes used to say, my brother's name's Richard, "Richard, did we go to the same dinner party?" His perception was absolutely diametrically different. This amazing learning that we are different. And we need a spiritual strength just to allow people to be different. There's a myth they call the injection myth, which is the idea that you get an idea in your head and you sort of inject it into another person's mind. Sometimes I think it's like you type up an email in your mind and you press the send button, it goes pop into your inbox. Then you understand it like me. And then I tell you my idea, you react. You don't like my idea, you reject it. And we can't understand. It seems so sensible, normal and logical. Because we forget that every idea will be distorted by the other party. It will go through so many filters of their values, of their principles, of their culture, of their mood, of their karmic story. It'll all be distorted and they will hear it according to the way they will hear it. And this is, I think, an incredible lesson in life, just to accept difference and accommodate people and who they are. I think when I lay the foundation, I have that power. The power of giving. The law of life says, if you want love, give it. If you want respect, give it. If you want cooperation, give it. To me, one of the great secrets of self-transformation is to take in my connection with Baba and with a mind full of those elevated feelings, give, give and give. The more I give the secret, the less I take hurt, the less I take sorrow, the less I take disrespect. So, and this giving doesn't drain me. Actually, this giving begins to fill me internally. Or the power to let go and forgive. We need a lot of internal strength to do that. Forgiveness is letting go all the conditions of my mind that stop me being loving or happy. And when I really begin to make that decision that when I can't forgive, often I suppress my love, I suppress my happiness. You've done this, I can't forgive you, I can't love you. You've done this, I can't be happy. It's a tricky one, though, because sometimes we feel, well, if I forgive somebody, it's like saying what you did was okay. But I can say that I don't agree with this behavior. I don't agree with those values. I didn't agree with what happened. But for my peace, I'm going to move on. And really, so many times I've talked to people who, once the connection with Baba gets strong, can move on in life. Can move on from deeply hurtful and painful experiences that are often like a shadow keep coming back and making my life unhappy and heavy. We can actually move forward. The power to accommodate. The power to accommodate is also an incredible power, because when I'm actually able to accommodate others, I can really free myself. The power to discriminate. You know, at every millisecond of life, we're presented with data. And the data is like a screen, like the screen we were watching the lovely presentation from Taiwan on last night. All the data goes on the screen of the mind, what we hear, what we see, instantly. The intellect is that part of me which is assessing all the data. And when the intellect is filled with the truth of who I am and who I belong to, I have an objectivity, almost like a natural detachment, where I can make the right decision. If I keep making the right decisions, I keep developing my destiny, my future. So many powers begin to become a part of my life. The power to tolerate, the power to face. So many powers start to emerge when I really rebuild the inner infrastructure within myself to re-anchor myself into my spiritual power. So I'm going to apply the power of a full stop now.